This is Victor Novak, the brewmaster for Golden Road Brewing. When I want to tap the very best in food news, I catch the SoCal Restaurant Show. Let's go Halos!
And welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for joining us. Do keep in mind, next Saturday, October 2nd, is our 9th anniversary special, and we would really like to have you here. We're going to be talking with some of our celebrity guests from over the years, and quite a happy occasion to still be here 9 years later. Do keep up with us on social media. We're on all the platforms, a lot of good information there that connects Saturdays, and we're enthusiastically presented to you each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Well, one guest we've really enjoyed chatting with multiple times over the last 9 years of the SoCal Restaurant Show is George Geary. He is a man that wears many toques, chef, pastry chef, author, culinary personality, cooking instructor, food historian, and quite in-demand speaker. His latest accomplishment is a new coffee table cookbook that I've been really having a lot of fun with called Made in California, the California-born burger joints, diners, fast food, and restaurants that changed America. And what I think our listeners are going to be surprised to know as we speak with George, so many national concepts actually started in California, and a lot of them in Southern California. Sadly, some wonderful concepts, for reasons that we'll discuss with George, disappeared that are fondly remembered. And with that as an introduction, it is a pleasure to welcome Chef George Geary back to the SoCal Restaurant Show. George, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. With all of those credits, it sounds like I can't keep a job.
You know, George, you've kept many. And actually, I recently heard, and you can verify this is true or not, you were with Disneyland for a number of years in the early goings there. Did you create the corn dog that we still enjoy at Disneyland?
At that park and all the parks around the world, yes. That was by mistake I did that. And most good food is by mistake, I think. And what happened was, is the park, January, February, a lot of things go down for rehab. And the Plaza Inn restaurant on Main Street that I was part of, the bakery was behind that, they were going down for rehab. And they said, we need some food on Main Street some way. And they had this thing called Carnival Days or State Fair Days. That's what it was. I think it was about 1986, 87. And so they had this red wagon thing. And they thought, well, what could we do in this place? And I said, well, you know, we don't have any corn dogs around the park, and that's really a fair food. And so I took, if you remember, there was a barbecue ranch place that did barbecue out in the Big Thunder Ranch barbecue, it was called.
Yes.
And we did the cornbread for that. So what I did is I made that batter, watered it down, the bakery, the last person is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, back in the day, and they're gone. Well, we needed a batter that would stay all day refrigerated, and you would just have to mix it up. So that's kind of what we did, and I thought it was going to be temporary, and then California Adventure opened. They put some there. Florida saw it. They wanted it. So, and then Hong Kong, it just kept going on and on. So that's kind of was one of the many foods that I created out there that they're still using today. Yep.
Wow. You know, George, quite impressive, because actually the last time we chatted, we talked about the reissue or the new reprinting of your Fair Foods book. So this kind of all fits into there. And, you know, the good news is the Orange County Fair was back this summer. It's 75% capacity, record attendance. I mean, they sold out most days. So some of the folks and some of the items that you chronicled in that book, Chicken Charlie and such, they were back in rare form, and believe me, glad to be there.
Yeah, I was out at the LA Fair working out there for 28 seasons. I would do a lot of the judging and things, and that's where the fair book came in. And last year, because we were under COVID strict things that you couldn't leave, I thought, why don't we reissue the fair book? And it went like gangbusters. Everybody was buying it and making their own food. In fact, that corn dog recipe is in the fair book.
Got it. Okay. Well, you're giving away some of your secrets, George, but definitely
yep,
good
go.
To know. Your latest achievement, which, as I say, I've just really been enjoying as a native Californian, Made in California, the California-born burger joints, diners, fast food, and restaurants that changed America. Kind of the gestation of this, George, is you've done a lot of work for the LA Conservancy, which I want to have you explain to our audience what is, or, you know, how that organization works. And then also, there's some discovery you did with See's Candy that I want you to discuss or mention to the audience. And, of course, that's also a chapter in the book. But, George, as you know and agree, anyone that's from California, See's Candy is just an iconic food that's available here. And I believe only available in the West. And one that when you think about See's Candy, its warmth, its family, its holidays. I mean, it really is a genuine icon.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the book is the subtitle of California-born joints, diners, blah, blah, blah. See's Candy doesn't fit into any of those categories. And then I came to the conclusion of, it's my book, and I'll put what I want in it, as long as my publisher lets me. And
hear, hear.
See's Candy is 100 years today. I mean, not today, this year. And I just had a passion for the company, and I was researching it, and I thought, you know, their original building is on Western in Los Angeles in Koreatown, and it's still there. And I found that it was designated a historical place, but the city never put a plaque up. So I met with the CEO of See's, and I told him, and this was only 4 days before the whole country in California was shutting down. I was in San Francisco, and he said, we aren't going to be able to have our parties this weekend. They aren't going to let us have more than 25 people in a room. And I thought, oh, boy, the world is going to change. And so they shut the whole factory down and for about 3 months, I believe, and they gave all of the See's Candy of chocolate eggs, because Easter was around the corner, remember, back then when when we were shutting down.
Yes.
So they donated it all to first line office workers and stuff. So they were all buzzed on chocolate. And we couldn't get the chocolate. And when you couldn't get it, not even mail order at the time, you started going through some withdrawal, you know. And so what I did is, with the L.A. Conservancy, I called all these different people I knew, and I said, why doesn't the building have a plaque? And they came up, I found different sources of how to get a plaque on the building or outside the building. And on the building, you have to find out who owns it, and will they agree to putting a plaque on the building. If you go to Europe, you see plaques on all these buildings everywhere. You walk down the street, and there's a plaque about a history of something, and I love reading these plaques.
Sure.
So I could not get the owner to agree. And it was at the time, it was a Korean coffee house called Tom and Tom. And you can still see that it still looks like the original picture of the building. So I came up with, let's just put the plaque outside on a telephone pole next to it. And that's what we did. So we could drive down the highway. And that took about, with COVID, it took about 6 months to get it done. And I had to do the supervisor of that district.
Agree
to it.
Yes.
And she had just gotten into office, and she didn't really care about historical preservation. That's another thing. We have to save our buildings with food history and all sorts of history. There's so many that are not being saved. And that's another reason why this book goes into detail of where was the very first, like McDonald's. Well, that is out in San Bernardino. The building's gone, but the site is there, and it's a museum, not sponsored by the McDonald's company. But so every chapter tells where you can go and see these buildings if they're still there. If they aren't, you've got the address. You kind of look and go, well, there it was. But as far as the L.A. Conservancy that you mentioned, they save buildings, they repurpose them. We've all been down the 5 freeway and seen the outlet mall that looks like a Mayan temple.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, yeah. That was a tire factory, and that was one of the first things to be saved. And it's a repurposed. It's no longer a tire factory, but it's a mall. You still have the look of the place. And that's what the LA Conservancy does. They try to repurpose buildings instead of tear them down if they can't keep them as the original building. So that's kind of what, and you can go to LAConservancy.org and sign up. They do a lot of great activities during the year. And they're doing a lot of stuff online, which is nice that you don't have to go somewhere to see it.
Well, and during COVID, that, you know, is particularly important. So, you know, the mission continues, you know, that's a way to keep things going. George, as we're about to go to our first break, I want to read all books. You try to get some author quotes from prominent people. Gustavo Arellano, who is now a columnist for the LA Times. We know him from his days from OC Weekly. But he fits into all of this because one of his books is Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. And of course, there's a lot about Taco Bell in there that we'll get into in the next segment. But I do want to read his quote because, again, to have Gustavo's recommendation, you know, that's something that you can write home about. So as we go into our commercial break, I gained 15 pounds reading this book, but it was worth it because 10 of those went to my brain. A smart, encyclopedic, delightful read worthy of a coffee table, a classroom syllabus, or a car seat as a road trip companion. You got to love that one, George.
Oh, that was one of my favorite. When it came through, I was like, I would love to steal this because I get a lot of authors ask me to do a quote for the back of their book after I've read parts of it. And I think I might steal part of it, but not tell anybody where it came from.
I don't think Gustavo would mind. He's very generous and yeah, very humble. But, you know, for those of us that know him and know his background, that's a very significant quote. George, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking with cookbook author, raconteur, chef, cooking instructor, and all-around good guy, George Geary. His newest is Made in California, the California-born burger joints, diners, fast food, and restaurants that changed America. We're going to be picking up the conversation, and we're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.